translation. O Seraph Telavi, you need lament no longer now.
There's no need to fear.
As low-class Shudra. And O Mother Cow,
as long as I don't bring you the ruler and subduer of all envious men, there's no cause for you to cry. Everything will be good.
Only when there is a state ruled
by an executive head, like Maharaj Rishi,
Maharaj rests the cow as mother, for he is a cultured, twice-born Kshatriya king.
Maharaj, the name of the cows exists in the spiritual planets and are especially
reared by Lord Sri Krishna himself. The cows are made after the form and features of the Surabhi cows in the spiritual kingdom. In the material world, the human society is not created, but there is no law to protect the descendants of Surabhi, who can give all protection to men by supplying the miracle food.
Lord, I see you shall see that me
are fully conscious of the importance of the cow and bull.
You want me
to punish the cow killer with all chastisement, including death. There has sometimes been agitation for the protection of the cow, but for want of pious executive heads and suitable laws, the cow and the bull are not given protection. The human society should recognize the importance of the cow and the bull, and thus give all protection to these important animals, following in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit. For protecting the cows and Brahminical culture, the Lord, who is very kind to the cow and the Brahmanas, Go Brahmana Hitayacha, will be pleased with us and will bestow upon us a real peace. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Vaskachari Satarine
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Here Maharaj Parikshit's strong nature becomes obvious, because he is telling Mother Surabhi and the bull, no need for fear, I will take care of the situation. So from this, the Kali is already practically dead. Nowadays, people do not love the bull and the cow, but as we hear, the dog. This is a very unfortunate state of human civilization, because nothing good can come out of protecting the dog. We actually find in medical history that all bad things come up. For instance, the diseases of the sexual organs, many diseases have been traced back to the dog, who apparently was engaged in some sense gratification by the aristocratic dog lovers. So this is a direct sign how a degraded civilization keeps pet animals, which to gratify their senses with. But the bull and the cow are so special. Often it is it has a spiritual reason and also an economic reason. The spiritual reason is that Nanda Tanuja, born from the body of Nanda, he has come there and he has himself shown his fondness of the cows. also Srimati Radharani has shown her fondness of the cows. It is described when Radharani sees a little calf who by grazing in the pasturing ground has a straw piece sticking through the lip, then her heart becomes full of compassion. She's very sad and removes with her own hand the straw from the mouth of the calf. Radha and Krishna are cow lovers because this is the way they conduct their transcendental activities. They are not dog lovers. They are not known for this. Of course, Krishna has also a pet dog. This must be said. He does have one. Krishna has a pet bull. Krishna's bull, it says, move around like old sannyasis in the pasturing ground so majestically. He has a pet dog also, but not many. And anyways, these are transcendental dogs, you know, they are our spiritual masters. Now I wanted to make a little observation with you. These cows and bulls in this world are honored because they are replicas of the Surabhi cows. Now, whenever you do something the Krishna way, you are successful on all levels. We like the cow because Krishna loves them, but there is an economic reason also which makes the cow extremely lovable. And I do not think I have to go in great detail in this circle. You all know that the milk and the dung and the power of the bull are very useful in spiritual in a life. When we were on Braj Mandal Parikram, we often passed the simple dwellings of the cow herders there. And you could see the village was plastered with a mixture of earth and cow dung. It was very pure, there was a very fresh smell. flies and mosquitoes were repulsed by this smell. We slept a few times in a cow dung hut. Very nice, actually. Very, very appealing to the aesthetic sense. Then we were given milk. There was ample yogurt, buttermilk. Bulls would go and work on the fields and would also work for the irrigation. They would work around and have a device through which buckets, which were strung to a wheel, were always going into a pond, then taking up the water and pouring it so that it could be used on the field. It was very nice to see how a civilization based on agriculture and the bull and the cow was very happy, and there was a very peaceful environment. See, we have taken other food than milk in this Kali Yuga, and we have taken other powers than the bull power, And by all this, the result is a godless civilization meant to exploit the energy of the human being and leaves him wasted on the side, always full of agitation and internal crises or internal chaos. So, in such a civilization, it is very difficult for also the members of Krishna consciousness to lead a very peaceful life. The agitation in the atmosphere is very strong, and there is a constant bombardment on the devotees of the Ugra Karma and their reactions, which are just whirling around in the atmosphere. Therefore, sometimes our devotees experience bewilderment and also the coming up of anattas, things which are which are there in the heart, which do come from contamination. To practice Krishna consciousness in this Kali Yuga for a devotee means there will be a lot of pressure to on his mind from all sides, from the atmosphere, from the food. Everything is just so spoiled and so almost so ugh. A devotee, knowing this, must be a transcendental guerrilla almost. He must know how to first of all situate himself in a healthy Krishna conscious atmosphere, without which there is no hope of survival. There is no hope of survival for someone who doesn't situate himself in his life in a healthy Krishna conscious atmosphere. Now there are a few requirements to be situated in a healthy spiritual atmosphere. One very necessary requirement is that one has an affectionate relationship to the devotees, because by this sadhu sangha a lot of perfection can be gained. However, not only by there is a question which I want to bring to your attention. Is a question related to the shloka on sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koya lava matu ta sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoya. It says that even the 11th part of a second of association with devotees, all perfection can be gained. Now, why are we not perfect? Olga, what would you say?
Because we get tired also.
That is natural. That's, yes, that's not a problem.
Due to offenses.
Due to offenses.
Because our association is not perfect, so it's disturbed by our own ahankara or omnipotence.
Yeah. Ahankara means what?
The false ego.
False ego. Mm-hmm. Yeah. These answers are certainly well and good. I would like to give you a little insight into what Srila Prabhupada, how Prabhupada analyzes this. This question comes up for a long time in the Vaishnava history. For instance, there is a passage in the life of Ramanujacharya where after eating prasadam he washed his hands in a lake. And the fishes who were there ate that prasadam and immediately took on the forearm form and went back to Vaikuntha. So his disciples were rather They feel actually very frustrated because of this. Why? Because they always ate the Mahaprasad from Ramanujacharya, and they were still in the body and the mind, given by material nature, and experiencing the struggle of a sadhaka, which every one of us also knows and experiences in some different degrees, of course. So they asked this Ramanuja, why is it that we have not obtained our original Shwarup, our original form, by now? Every day we eating. And he said, but the animals can't make offenses, but you can. That's certainly one answer. Now, there's another answer. See, just use it through an example. The sadhu sangha must be so potent because in the association of devotees, something happens. We absorb their qualities, which is in their heart. I mean, sadhu sangha cannot be effective if there is not an exchange of Krishna consciousness taking place. Just to stand near to a devotee like a tree, that obviously cannot be alone the explanation why something is happening. There must be an exchange. That is the case. So an exchange can only take place if the two are qualified. For instance, for fire to jump into other substances, the substances have to be prepared in a special way. They have to be dry. Srila Prabhupada gave that example. A devotee must make himself dry of the desire to enjoy this world. Only then it will be possible for him or for her to take full advantage of sadhu sangha. Only then the spark, so to say, of Krishna consciousness will be able to take a seat in his heart and transform his heart. Only then. Now, to become our movement is actually based on things which make us qualified. I don't want to say dry, because that's really not what happens. It's quite the opposite. One becomes a Rashika Bhakta, who's full of ras. It means full of loving emotions towards Krishna. But at the same time, it can be said we must purge out, das heißt rauskriegen, a certain wetness of the material energy. This desire to enjoy manifests itself, of course, in very gross ways. The gross ways would be that one likes to eat meat and likes to have intoxications and likes to gamble and likes to have sex life. This is a very gross contamination. A heart which is full of this contamination cannot absorb Krishna consciousness, what we have often seen actually. In this Kali Yuga, most people are full of these things, and therefore they can't avail themselves, diese Künste, also nicht ausnutzen, to be in association with devotees. I often see that when we go out for Harinam, the way people react towards devotees shows that they are actually not very qualified. Their heart is totally full with the urine of material life, and therefore the spark doesn't fly over in all cases. In many cases something happens. You might see when you watch the faces, that many faces lit up yesterday when they saw the Harinam Sankirtan party. And when Bhakta David came fully enthusiastic with a pile of books, you know, who could actually say no? Only a person whose heart is full of urine, actually. So the point here is, once you have given up the subtle tendencies to enjoy, the gross tendencies to enjoy, or at least you have some understanding, then the next point is you have to take out the weeds from the heart, which grow simultaneously, and which with the bhakti lata beach. There is one strong beach, is called the desire for anna, pratishta. It is very bad weed, very prominent. Then jiva hinsa, violence towards others. This is, of course, animal killing, but being envious towards others as well. This is very bad. This makes the heart very wet, so to say, with maya. Actually, Raghunath Goswami even said, my dear mind, why are you desiring to bathe yourself under the trickling urine of an ass? Imagine, there is a Magarats, an ass, or Osma, and you sit under that private part of the ass and enjoy the hot urine. It makes a nice shower. This is actually almost a diseased thing. So Raghunath Goswami says, my dear mind, why do you want this anna always, which is like the trickling hot urine of the Magarats, the ass? Why do you want this? He's asking the question for all of us. This makes one always very dirty in one's consciousness. So, this is a point which is raised in Vaishnava, in the Mana Shiksha. So, there are other subtle things which make the heart very wet. Jiva hingsa, kudinati, that is diplomatic behavior. Then there is activities which are actually unacceptable on the path of Krishna consciousness. This refers to old and new bad habits, and so on and so forth. We do have to make our heart free from this, and take honestly shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, we will be able to very, very quickly absorb the wonderful Krishna consciousness which is to be had in the Vaishnava Sangha. Then the spark, so to say, can jump over and ignite our heart so that the fire of Krishna consciousness will burn away all ignorance which still might be present there. If you meet a very strong Vaishnava, then this process, of course, goes faster, because if you have a Mahabhagavat, then his fire is so strong that it can even burn you when you are very very wet, such as when you are still a little wet. And I remember Prabhupada, amazing Shakti to just preach Krishna consciousness and to ignite other people's Krishna consciousness. It was just so wonderful to see how he was a generator of spiritual potency, and those who only saw him once experienced how their life was deeply touched. So much so that eventually they decided to give up all bad habits and become devotees themselves. It is therefore stated the potency of a Vaishnava can be measured in how many people, he actually induces in Krishna consciousness and brings the Krishna consciousness himself. That is how you can judge the potency of a Vaishnava, a Vaishnava. Actually, everyone in this world wants to become a devotee himself. All the activities which you can see taking place in the world are actually a desperate attempt to find the eternal freedom of Krishna consciousness. But because people are totally covered by the covering potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this desire takes shape in so many, sometimes even abominable forms. People act in such an abominable way in the age of Kali to find satisfaction that it is almost it is difficult to imagine actually how they can come to this. But if we learn to spread Krishna consciousness in an attractive way to these unfortunate people, then we can actually turn their attention back to the Supreme Lord. That is a piece of constant meditation, how to present Krishna consciousness in novel ways, new ways, so that people will feel attracted to the eternal message of the Lord who ever resides in the spiritual world, calling us forgetful souls back to him, back to his transcendental lotus feet. Someone who engages in this mission of Krishna, that means bringing people back to the lotus feet of the Lord, he becomes the most dear servant of Krishna, and Krishna protects him in all possible ways. He protects his body, he protects the words of his devotee, and he protects also the thoughts of his devotee. The best religion that is there in the Bhagavatam is that by which mercy is shown towards others. See, that has a reason. The conditioned soul tends to be very self-conscious in his life. How do I look like? How do I appear in the circle of my friends or society? How do I feel now? You might remember when you took the beebeck for the first time in your hand and started to chant. It was a very self-conscious activity. One thought, oh, is this really good now? Have I really thought about this now? I'm sitting here mumbling some words and so on. Have you noticed when you chanted the first time, it was like felt a mixture of strangeness and inquisitiveness, Neugierde. So, in Krishna consciousness, we want to take people out of their mind and engage them in the mission in a different context altogether. That is thinking of Krishna, trying to please Krishna. But the four qualities are there in a devotee. That is Manmana. He thinks of Krishna. Bhava Mat Bhakto. He develops the mentality of a devotee. That means he becomes free from the self-centeredness. That obviously thinks, how do I feel? How is it good for me? How is this working with me? No, he thinks, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. How is it for Krishna? Is Krishna pleased? Have I managed to please Krishna today? Then, Bhava Mat Bhajaji, oh, one must worship Krishna and offer the obeisances to Krishna. Any of these four qualities, if you do them properly, are so potent. I remember, I'm always wanting to make experiments. I don't know if you know, this is one of my characteristics. So I thought, when I was in Vrindavan, I will make obeisances to Krishna. It's stated in the Bhagavad Gita, so let's see what happens. So we made, on Brahman Parigram, there was a time when there was a time in the Govardhan Hill, you know, where we all decided to make 100 dandavats, practicing in the dust. That, this is, you have to take off your shirt, because you begin to sweat and then the shirt becomes totally brush colored, you know, with the brush dust color. It's not actually, it's a very nice color. Very good, but and then, and after like 50 obeisances, I just felt so wonderful, because it's a spiritual process to make obeisances to Krishna. When you make we often make obeisances, maybe during the morning program, we do like 10 obeisances. Have you noticed that? You know, then the guru comes in, then whenever he does something, boom, boom, the whole devotee crowd goes down. There's a lot of obeisances which come, you know, which you, if you count them together. The most important point in obeisances is to offer one's mind. If you, to touch with the mind the floor, you just touch with your body the floor, there's not so much benefit. There's benefit also, but you have to offer yourself in supplication. Supplication is the demütige Hingabe to Krishna. My dear Lord, please allow me on this day to serve you nicely and to serve the Vaishnavas nicely. This is how you should feel when you go down to the ground. It's not, oh, again, oof. I wish there would be no guru here, then I don't need to bow down so often. You know, such a disturbance to the muscles and so on. No, with the mind. And you will see, it works so much. And worship Krishna. We can all worship Krishna by our service. When you do your devotional service, now it's, there's a change of atmosphere, you can see autumn is coming now really quick. Yesterday, the devotees told me it was really the coldest day since long, isn't it? Now it's even raining. Yes, a lot of demons seem to take birth. So this is a typical. Don't allow your mind to come in the autumn blues. That is the melancholy. Think of worshipping Krishna. You can worship Krishna in different ways. It's not that he only accepts the pujari's lamp on the altar as worship, but he especially wants conditioned souls to be worshipped with a garland of conditioned souls, which we can offer to him in all ways. A book distributor can meditate like this. Oh, I'm distributing the Bhagavad Gita books here for Krishna, so that there will be many who can take up the path of Krishna consciousness. We desire very much to preach in Germany these coming months in our short period here on this planet Earth. Bring many conditioned souls to Krishna. And the book distribution service is a very essential fundament in this. So a devotee who goes out for book distribution in the autumn rain, he should understand, she should understand that this is worship for Krishna. We are bringing garlands. See, when you bring offer garlands to so the deities, there are a few things which are in the garland making process. One is you pick the flowers, the other may wash the flowers. Will they be do that, washing the flowers? Will we wash flowers when we make garlands?
Yes.
Yes?
Always.
Not always, because they are clean usually, isn't it? So, then someone shrinks the garland. And then finally there is some... there is a pujari who puts the garland around the Lord's neck. So, in the same way, when we do this sankirtan, or preaching service in the bus program, we may not be the one who gives the garland around the head of Lord Krishna. But we may be the one who picks the flowers, or who strings the flowers, or who educates the flowers of the country by preaching to them in the form of the Bhakta program, or so on and so forth. But all are equally dear to Krishna, because all are trying to please him with the service of preaching. Let us not allow that our minds become diverted by fixing themselves on the external of this process. Yesterday I very much could see this. See, we went over the Schildergasse, I think. How are these streets called? Schildergasse and Hohenstraße, glaube ich. Yes? Yeah. So, I was just thinking, when I'm out there on book distribution, I'm not always feeling as blissful, because here you just chant and you just dance and you, after doing it very intensive for some time, you just feel how all this becomes, just disappears, the significance of the Kali Yuga shopping street disappears very much in the past. You see, these people are just like little children who are little foolishly trying to get some new toys to play around in their sandbox. And you don't become very impressed by their sometimes very pompous behavior, you know, by their rich dresses or their schminka or their big cars, by their polis, and you know, by their huge shops and department stores. You all see it as little children's game. You see it like that, and you, when you hear the music, the rock music, you hear it also. Then you know, you just smile at all this nonsense. Sometimes, due to the throwing potency of the illusory energy, we become distracted and do not any longer see them as children, but as grown-up people who have something very either attractive or threatening to offer. You know, you feel threatened by their friends. So I just felt, when I was going on Arinam yesterday, it is very important for a devotee to always keep himself in a distance or protected, let us say, protected by the spiritual energy when he moves about in this field. For instance, I saw Bhakti David distributing books, and he was always, when I saw him smiling, I just was thinking, oh, hopefully he will be able to keep up that smile for the next 2 or 3 hours. It's not so easy if one becomes subtly influenced by the material energy and then becomes disturbed by all the people who say no. It's just thinking, so when you go out on sankirtan, you do have to be protected by the spiritual energy. This is actually the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness. Save yourself first. It sounds almost like a very materialistic statement, but it is not. How will you be able to cure and bring people and bring them up in the garland which you will give to Krishna, if you yourself are not totally convinced and spiritually strong, yes, it's not possible, isn't it? You must be like that. So if one feels a little weak, that is not a crime, that is a very natural a feeling of a honest devotee, then he or she, you know, something is turning in ISKCON, and I don't want to be an old timer, so we ever also say he or she. you know, then one must not feel totally shocked, but one must see, well, my spiritual strength is leaving me. Now, the best thing to do really is to have, at that time, nice conversation with older devotees who can help us see everything in a spiritual perspective. See Krishna's hand in the workings of our lives. So, Hare Krishna, this was a typical spontaneous lecture. You know, I had my notes here and I wanted to give a lecture like yesterday, which was prepared, but I thought today I will speak from the heart, from the sritza, so that you can, because there are lectures like this and lectures like that. So, do you have any questions regarding these points which were raised in the course of the lecture? Wie heißt du nochmal?
Jochen.
Jochen?
Mhm.
Was machst du hier?
Ich bin hier Backe heute auf
Trainingsprogramm. Ja. Oh. Ja, Jochen?
Sometimes people ask me, well, you don't eat meat because you don't want to be responsible on hurting or killing animals. But at the other side, you buy milk from
Bauern? Yeah, from the farmers.
From the farmers. But you know that if a cow wants to give milk throughout the year, she has to
give a
calf from time to time. Yeah. All the bulls are being killed and slaughtered. So what should we answer to them?
At that time, I give a very honest answer. I say, we are aware of this problem. We regret it very much that this is going on. We don't think that we are that by our Heidelberg temple we significantly increase the meat industry because the process is going on with us or without us. Now, if you want to criticize us for nevertheless, you know, supporting a system which is bad, we just have to say you can't in this world sometimes have to take things. We want to offer the milk of the cows to Krishna and to the Vaishnavas for their pleasure. A devotee needs milk products to grow up healthy, wealthy, and wise. You can say, well, I know that there are different theories on nourishment, and not all would agree that the milk product is essential. But there's also many proofs which show that milk product is essential. So, and we hope that and any cow which gives to Krishna and the Vaishnava, have a thing here. So, you know, it looks like a surgeon and chirurg. So if they breathe in, the bacteria are not inhaled. And they sweep the floor before they walk, so that they don't step on creatures. So they do this, at least the sannyasi like people, to really show ahimsa, to give like a sign and I think it's nice, you know, but at the same time, they can't avoid killing altogether. It's not possible. I mean, they sit down, or if some food is made for them, they will kill some smaller creatures in the process. You know, so one can only do the best one is able to do. We hope by preaching against meat eating, we save a lot of cows. This is how we approach our subject. I know at this point there will be some karmis who will still argue, but I think their arguments don't really hurt our position. Arguments are only there, and you know, let them argue until they become tired and have to go to sleep, you know. It doesn't change any the reality at all. So 3 points. We don't think that by a few devotees... first point. We want to please the devotees in Krishna. This is our... and we know that great benefit is there for anyone who does so, even the cows and calves. Then, second point is, we don't think that we significantly increase the killing industry. In fact, by our preaching and publicizing books on vegetarianism, we have been very successful of stopping the of spreading vegetarianism. That's the second point. The third point is, you have to be practical. Even if they say that be a Nazarene, what are the people called? Veganer. We feel it's a very unhealthy way of. Usually they can't think very, very good. This is what I have seen. It's amazing, if you haven't taken milk products for a long time, your thought is not so clear. It's really that, I can tell you very honestly, I tend to be a very sensitive individual, with a very thin skin, so to say. And due to I have a problem that mucus comes very easily in my body. So therefore I had to stop for a year to drink milk, and I felt like a shudra after a year. Yes, you can feel your thought is not so coming so fast. I mean, as soon as I realized it, I went to buttermilk, which doesn't create the problem, and the other things. But milk is very important. Very important. Good.
Like, this is maybe more to the lecture of yesterday, in relation to parapta karma.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are certain things one has to tolerate, which come from the body, which are given by one's parapta karma, which is not distinguished by performing devotional service. But the mind is also material, and so does this parapta karma also refer to the mind? Like somebody who is depressive, which comes from time to time.
Yeah.
Like this? Will this be, wird das durch den Hingebungsbanddienst dann verändert, oder muss das genauso toleriert werden wie Zahnschmerzen? Oder?
The movement of the mind can be changed by Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there would not be much chance for us. But I want to give a deeper explanation in this one. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, this is now very interesting, please listen carefully to this, what's the difference between a material mind and a spiritual mind? And how does it change? This is really, that will answer also your question. This, question. And he said, it's just like the difference between material life and spiritual life. See, you are now living a spiritual life. Or let us make it very simple to understand. This morning you lived a spiritual life. From whenever you managed to get up to now, which was a day which was only filled, you know, during this period, your day was really filled with spiritual activities. You were chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You were worshipping on the altar with flowers. You were listening to a lecture on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Soon you will take foodstuffs which was offered to the Lord and then sacrificed. See, you're doing all things, but the contents is entirely different, and that makes the difference between spiritual and material life. So Prabhupada explained it the same way. A material mind, is engaged in material things, and the spiritual mind is engaged in spiritual things, things of Krishna. Also, their thought process is going on in the soul. You know, the soul has a mind. So, Dayasindhu, this is such an interesting point. Why are you leaving us in the midst of it? It has not even finished. Hare Krishna. So this is really the difference, Gadada. that the spiritual mind thinks of Krishna just like your material mind thinks of Maya. And then, once you have the Krishna in your mind, then the life starts to become heavy. I remember from your own life, before you came to Krishna consciousness, you were so much on the mental platform, I couldn't believe it. Isn't it? Yes, it was really heavy. Gadara has changed totally. I mean, he's now completely away from the mind sometimes. Dancing like a piece of straw in a hurricane over the shopping street, you know, no guarantee where he will land. It's very nice to see. One day Gadadha will open a dancing school for the devotees. The Gadadha dancing school. Freestyle. This is now another thing which I really wanted to bring to your attention. We felt after the Harinam, it was very nice, of course, but we feel a little choreography would help. That means that the devotees know when to dance. We can be so attractive if our dancing maneuvers are somehow coordinated, isn't it? It can be really something, you know, that the devotees in their colors are looking already supremely attractive than guys. Then if they move around in, you know, you have to watch a little bit more what's happening, and then I can also do, can almost look like a Polynesia, the Harinam. It is finely orchestrated. In a Mahaprabhu's tradition, there are styles, you know, the Madangas are always together, doing things together, jumping together, playing together. Like this, we should a little bit look into this, I feel, and then do it, and people will just be, there they come, the dancers. In the darkness of Kali Yuga. So, alright, back to your question. I'm sorry, it's a little spontaneous, this lecture. Yes, the mind can change by beginning to think of Krishna. It is, yesterday with some devotees we were discussing a nice philosophical point. Even whilst you're in the material world, there will be always material thoughts coming. Even to great saints, and even to Shiva, Prabhupada says, Lord Shiva, a material thought process can cross the mind. Yeah. For instance, the thought of a woman in a way not conducive to spiritual life, that might come very easily. Thoughts come and go because of the atmosphere around. But you have to stop the thought. But if you think, well, now I've thought about this, now I have to give it practical shape, that is has to be stopped. And you can do it because it starts like this. Thinking, then feeling, you begin to identify with a thought and accept it as your own thought. And then willing, you have a consequence out of it. For instance, first you think that you must get Birkenstock shoe by all means. Then the next thing is you feel it out of it. Sometimes, or buy Birkenstock shoe and a new t-shirt or whatever. Then you feel like it. I really must get it. And everyone who even raises an objection to my desire to get a new t-shirt or whatever, he becomes my deadly enemy. And then comes the very soon the billing process, that I really going to spend this money. It's Krishna's money, all right, but I want a nice t-shirt. See, so that you must learn, if you want to develop your spiritual mind, to stop the thinking of material things. No one should be shocked if a material thought comes. This will go on in the material world. But you have to stop the thinking, the feeling, and you have to stop that it develops into feeling and into willing. And that you can do by using the intelligence. The intelligence must be sharpened by having heard from the spiritual master. It's a sword of knowledge which the intelligence can apply, provided you have a little strength. Most of us are so slobby. Sorry, I don't get this Yugoslavian language out of my head. Slobby means weak. We are so weak that although we know something in our intelligence, we can't go, we can't stop how the thought develops into the feeling and then the willing stage and later the activities. That strength, Achyuta Bala it's called, can be obtained by service to the spiritual master and to Krishna. Then you will have the strength so that the knowledge which you have can be applied by you. And you can go, thump. When the thought comes, you can just say, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. And not begin to identify with it. Because when you happen to become a spiritual master, you have to really learn this art, because by all your neophyte disciples connected with you, you sometimes get these thoughts and you think, yeah, are they coming? What is going on up there? And you really have to notice to see that this has nothing to do with you. You really don't want this. You really don't have doubts like this. You just go plum, and then they go. You really have to learn it. When you become a guru, you will have to learn to control the mind like anything. Because you're getting all that subtle ballast, so to say. I don't know the English word of that. Burden, the subtle burden of others' thoughts and problems. Sometimes in Krishna consciousness, now this is for all you, for all of us who are in Kali Yuga dealing with the mind. Due to Krishna's mercy, all your karma gadadha, which you would get, you know, which is there in the seed form, becomes visible to you in a subtle form. Not in gross activities, but you see it. In other words, you see yourself in situations which are really wild and which would be. I, for instance, see myself very often involved in car accidents. Very often see myself in the mind bleeding on the autobahn. There's very often there, this vision is there. But I take it as my karma, which is by Krishna's mercy coming visible in a subtle form, not in the in the real form, in the how to say, in the physical world, and then you become free from it. But you have to let it go. Goodbye. You have to let it go. If you become mental and think about this, then you become contaminated, and you might even later do some activities which are not conductive for your Krishna consciousness due to that contamination. Do you understand this point? So it's the three unmanifested karmas which come: kutastha, bhija, and phalanmukha. Yes. Bija, kutastha, phalanmukha. Bija is a small, this very subtle form, which is there as a desire. Kutastha is a little bit more developed karma, perceivable already in your stronger desire, which amounts almost to a determination to do it.